Thank you for joining me for the latest installment, TV Madness with Makisha Madden-Toby. I'm your host. We've come to the end of 2015, and a number of shows are either on fall hiatus or headed in that direction. And then there are shows like American Horror Story Hotel that are wrapping up in wild and strange ways. Here to talk about AHS Hotel and a few other shows, including some 2016 mid-season offerings, is fellow TV critic Stacey Roberts, the founder and editor of the website Seriously OMG WTF, which can be found at seriouslyomg.com. Stacey, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for doing it. So, no problem. Let's talk about the shows you watch and then a few you don't later on. Like, and we can also talk about mid-season stuff, like I mentioned. And for starters, what do you think of American Horror Story Hotel this season?
It's got its moments. You know, whenever they do, like, an off episode, like the serial killer dinner, you're like, ugh.
I didn't like that.
But I'm intrigued by the whole vampire storyline.
See, that's the thing. The vampire thing I thought was interesting because I like Lady Gaga and I like her as a vampire. But I didn't like the whole kid vaccination thing. It just pissed me off. And now the kids are wandering the hills and attacking adults. It's just, I don't know where they're going.
Well, that's just typical Ryan Murphy. It's like he does subplots. And it's like, I would love to see one season of American Horror Story remain on track.
I know. Exactly.
One theme and keep it that way, because like when you put in all this other stuff, like the whole serial killer thing and the Ten Commandments killer, you lose interest.
It's too much. Like, mm-hmm. And I feel like, I mean, I love that it's an anthology. I love the players that he has. It's, you know, great actors, so it's never a bad thing. I guess Jessica Lange is not going to do it right unless she's going to appear in the finale, which, I mean, whatever. And then,
no, she said she wasn't going to do it.
Well, so they teased like that she might appear. They made it seem like, mm-hmm. What do you think of Lady Gaga getting the Golden Globe nomination?
I like Lady Gaga, mm-hmm. and I think that she got the nomination because they want her to show up.
Right, and wear something crazy, right? Yeah.
Right, and you know, it's like, I mean, to me, most of the Golden Globes is who's going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it wasn't necessarily people that deserved it. I don't think Gaga is that great on American Horror Story Hotel.
Really?
I think she's good. I think Matt Bomer is better.
Yeah.
I think Dennis O'Hare is the true star of the show.
I love him.
Love him.
When
or should we say her for the aspect of the show?
For her. Right. I mean, when the Countess killed her boyfriend, I thought that was horrible. I was really upset for her. I really felt bad for Liz Taylor. And
I know, but I love her reaction on this week's episode. Like, get me flowers. Like, get your own flowers.
No, you killed my boyfriend. I don't want anything to do with you. You killed the love of my life.
And you're not. And then I like when she's like, "Well, he didn't really love you." And then she's like, "You're not going to take that away from me."
Yeah, that was complete BS, and she knew it when she said it. And I love that. I love the tension. They played it really well. I mean, that's what I mean. I don't think Lady Gaga is like, you know, an Oscar-worthy actress. Or necessarily award-worthy actress, but I think she's convincing and fun in that role. I like seeing her as sort of a vamp. You know what I mean? It works. It works in that world. Like I said, the only real problem I have with this season and the whole hotel thing is, like you said, the Ten Commandments killer. Like, where the hell did that come from? Really? And then, and then the sort of the kids thing. Like I said, in the vaccination the subplot or whatever. And the poor little girl. Where is the child? Where is it? Her mama is a vampire now. Her brother's a vampire. And the man is a killer. He's a serial killer, apparently. Her cop dad. So is she, where is she? Does anyone love her anymore? It's just horrible. They always have those weird loose ends where you're like, what happened to the child?
Right.
But I like the Valentino thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought that was a great episode.
Yeah, I love Angela Bassett on the show.
I love her and everything. She was at, I have this sad story. I know this is a random sad story, but I went to the Golden Globe nominations yesterday morning, and she was one of the presenters, and she was everything. Like, she was hilarious, Stacey. Like, the PR guy was like, okay, time to wrap up. Like, we got to go, you know. Because they do the first set of announcements, and they take a break, and then they come back and do the second half. And every time she would stop and, like, just pose. And she was just, like, so graceful and so poised. And I just thought, how can I be like that? It's 5:30 in the morning, and this woman looks amazing. Her hair is flawless. Her clothes are flawless. And she looked, her makeup's flawless. And she's just like, yes. And she's yes, look upon my awesomeness. I'm taking pictures. It was hilarious. The PR guy was like, oh, God. I felt for both of them, but I just love her. I love her. She just, there's nothing she can do. That said, it seems like she was underutilized this season.
She was, but her episode where they showed the 70s black,
blaxploitation.
Amazing.
I love it. I love that scene. I even love the scene where Angela Bassett and Matt Bomer walk into the hotel together, and it was like this 70s type, like, you know, like Pam Grier inspired type music, like boom, 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 boom. And I was just like, I wanted someone, I pray somebody made a meme out of that, because that scene was everything. Like, that was, to me, that made the season. Everything else is like, okay, well, it's good or it's bad. But that one scene with them walking into the hotel was everything. Loved them together. And then, of course, they double crossed her. But anyway, I think.
Well, we don't know.
True.
Maybe. It's all in his plan to get rid of the Countess.
That would be good. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I like Lady Gaga. I like the Countess. I kind of see where she was going with the whole Valentino thing. I like their romance. But there's so many, like, if I can kill this person and kill this person and do this to this person. I don't know.
Yeah.
And she's awful. I mean, she's mean. She took Liz Taylor's boyfriend, so I can't.
I know. And she was just evil the way she did. She's like, come here.
I know. Oh, yes, you can love each other. You can have him and then, you know.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I mean, you can have him dead anyway.
But you can't change him because you're not a vampire.
Well, that whole thing was so strange. Like, that she made him a vampire because, and we learn later, because he looked like Valentino. But, you know, I mean, because it's the same actor obviously playing. But, and I like that twist. That, to me, works. You know what I mean? That's the thing.
Right.
I can't ever give up on American Horror Story, because every now and again they'll give you some glimmer of hope or some inspired plot line or casting or something, and you go, okay, well, I'm mad at you, but I'm gonna keep watching, because it could be worse. I mean, it's not the worst,
right?
Show,
I mean, it's like you always wonder. That's just a Ryan Murphy show. It's he did that with Glee, and he did that with Scream Queens.
What did you think of Scream Queens? As an aside, like, did you watch it all the way through? And people were, like, disappointed, too. They were saying it was all over. But I thought it was funny. I thought it was hilarious.
It had its moments.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the thing that I didn't like about Scream Queens is you started to notice that certain characters were exactly like Glee.
Right. That's true.
You know, I personally, like, I thought Jamie Lee Curtis was exactly Jane Lynch. I didn't see any difference.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Now I see it.
Niecy
Nash was great. Yeah, I thought she was great. And I thought Kiki Palmer was fun. I don't know. I just, yeah. Some people were mad because they felt like Kiki Palmer in particular, I guess, was really stereotypical. But it didn't bother me.
No. Yeah, I mean, it had its fun moments. It had its bad moments, but it had a lot of fun moments, and it had a lot of great murders. I love great kills.
Yes.
That's me.
Yes. Yeah, I mean,
and that's what's
campy
missing
and fun.
But that's what's missing from American Horror Story, I think, this season. There haven't been that many. There are too many bloody kills and not funny kills. Like in Freak Show, he had a lot of funny kills.
The funniest kill, in my opinion, for Hotel was the annoying hipsters, the millennial hipsters. I was rooting for them to die. I was hoping that Iris would kill them, and she came through. She delivered, and I was very happy that she killed them. And I don't like her as a vampire. I think it's wrong that she's a vampire. But I like that she killed them. They needed to die.
It was fun.
And that they served them cat food before they died, even funnier. And they thought it was pate. So, yeah.
Well, they deserved it.
They deserved everything. They deserved everything they got.
And then
so.
I like in the next episode, you find that they're trapped in that hotel room.
And he keeps, harassing people about their artisanal taste. Is this artisanal? I hate that word. So, stuff about American Horror Story, it'll be exciting to see how it ends. What about season 2 of Empire? A lot of people have heard a lot of fans talking trash about season two. You know, they, and the funny thing about that, Stacey, to me, is that they're making it seem like season one was like this masterpiece, like this Hitchcockian class. It was just as campy. It was just as, you know, farcical. I don't know what people were watching. I'm trying to remember this great show that people seem to have watched the first season, and now they're like, oh, this is not as good as it was the first season. I'm like, it's exactly the same to me. I mean, what do you think? Do you like season two? Do you think it went down in quality?
Yeah, I think it's a lot more tame this season.
Really?
As compared to last season. I mean, I think the other problem is they got into their egos, and now they're casting names. So when you start writing for names.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like last year at the end of last season, I was on a phone call with the executive producer, whose name I'm forgetting, but the one who was a star in Buffy. And he said that they couldn't get any actors to be on the show until after it aired. Now that they can get names, like they're getting Marissa Tomei and...
I don't mind her.
I don't mind her, but I'm saying, like, they're getting, like, they're doing the stunt casting.
Annoying. I mean, like, okay, let's go back to the season opener. Now, again, I still love the show. It bothered me, but not enough to not watch. I put it that way. Chris Rock, what was that? Why? Why is Chris Rock playing a gangster on it? Stunt casting, miscasting.
To be on the show.
Right. It's just like.
But I did love his death.
His death was awesome. That was the only good part.
Yeah.
Ludacris, same thing. Why are you on here? Really? Ludacris is a prison guard. And then, of course, again, you're rooting for him to get hurt or, you know, beaten or killed or whatever. He just disappeared. So I'm assuming it didn't end well for him. And then, you know, people like Don Lemon playing himself. Nope. Not liking that. But like I said, aside from the stunt cast, and I will give everybody that is annoying. Aside from that, it doesn't bother me. In terms of where the plot is going, people were like tweeting things like, it would be great if it would be great if Empire would wrap up a plot or finish a storyline. And I'm just like, I put it this way. In season one, when they kind of tidied up a lot of the loose ends for the finale, people were like, oh, that was just too tidy. Then they kind of go on and don't necessarily pick something, a thread back up. And then people go, oh, they don't ever finish. You know, I feel like there's always going to be.
That's how people are. They're never happy.
They're never going to be happy with the show. And yet they can't stop watching because they want to have something to talk about. And I don't know.
But it was a good mid-season finale. Like,
I thought the finale was, mid-season finale was great. What did you think of Hakeem's double cross?
Do you blame him? I mean, his parents are all about them. They've been, like, teasing him, like, oh, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that, and then no one's giving him anything. So I don't blame him.
Well, that's true, but I still feel like, and the way they kind of set it up, too, I agree with it, was just like, okay, then that's something you need to figure out a way to deal with him on your own. You still have to have your family's back. It's family first with them. It's still family first with them. Even though they hurt each other and they're horrible to each other, and God knows Lucius is the worst dad, probably one of the worst dads on TV, he's still... I don't know. I still don't think he deserved that. I don't think he deserved that.
No, but talking about, who do you think pushed Rhonda down the stairs?
I mean, isn't it Boo Boo Kitty? Or are we supposed to think it's Boo Boo Kitty and it's somebody, who else would have a reason to?
I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing
is she alive, too?
I think she's alive, but I don't think the baby's okay. I don't think they're okay. But here's the thing about that. Like, why even make it seem like it could be? Who else would push her down the stairs? Considering that Boo Boo Kitty was giving her all kinds of stink faces and making all, you know what I mean? And she kept coming around her. And even Andre was like, why is she here? And then she was like, he's like, she's like, Rhonda's like, oh, you know, she's lonely. And I'm like, And then Rhonda, and it was this great scene with the two of them. But Rhonda's kind of looking at her, like, suspiciously, like, what is your deal? I thought you were lonely, but now you're creeping me out. And then she gets pushed down the stairs. Hilarious. Okay, I love Fox's social media team. Then they tweet out, who pushed Rhonda? And I'm like, who else could have pushed Rhonda? We know it's not Cookie. You know, so you know it's not Hakeem. But you know, but you know what I mean? There's no motive. There's no reason for Cookie to do it. So who else would have a motivation to do it except Boo Boo Kitty?
Anika. Kitty, yeah.
Yeah, it was just hilarious that they would even make it seem like it's like, who shot JR? No. Like, There was only one person who wanted to push Rhonda, and I think it's her. I can't imagine how else they could spin it. Mm-hmm. There's nobody. Oh, you know what? I take that back. There's what? One other person. One other person who could have wanted to push Rhonda. The who? Assistant DA that Andre was having an affair with.
That's true.
They could be doing it like this little mind game thing where they make, of course it's Boo Boo Kitty, but no, it's the lawyer lady. Because I can't imagine they would just get rid of Boo Boo Kitty like that. First of all, this whole season, I will say they've done her wrong. True. Mm-hmm. I just feel like they've underutilized her in terms of like just where, what are they doing with this character? And then like she went from like barely being in any scenes to just going straight to Crazy Town.
Right.
Like pregnant in Crazy Town. You're like, what? How did she get here? How did she end up here? So I hope it's not her in that regard. But yeah, I don't know where they're going with that. I'm still going to watch.
I know. I guess we are, and there's going to be a lot to tune in for, especially because we're going to want to know what's going to happen with the label, because that is, you know, that Lucius is not going to go down without a fight. But then what's interesting is they keep saying that Lucius or that Terrence Howard's role is going to be cut down.
Why?
And he's because of what he, like, I think it was his personal life was getting in the way.
That's interesting.
But yet,
there were so many, but there was also a rumor that he and Taraji weren't getting along at a certain point, and they didn't want any scenes together. And I'm just like, well, I mean, their characters don't like each other for the most part, so that shouldn't be too hard. And then,
it'd be more fun though if they hate each other to make them act together.
I know. And that said, I think they probably do have some animosity, or at least I can imagine from Taraji's side why she would. But that said, the scene in the mid-season finale where she's comforting him, I thought was one of the best scenes of the season.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, that. In fact, and a lot of people said it, and I have to agree, the mid-season finale, if you were starting to, like, give up on the show, I think brought it back. Like, whatever people were looking for, it had all of those twists and, like, oh, you thought this person was doing this? No, this is this person. And this person is actually married. She's married to Marissa Tomei. This is, you know... Naomi Campbell's back. You know, so it was fun. And maybe I give that to people, maybe a little bit of what people are missing, and they without necessarily articulating that is the fun. Like you said, get rid of the stunt casting, put aside all that stuff, and like, you know, you're getting all the people in the world. So, you know, everybody wants to be on the show. So, yeah, let them be on the show. Like, no, you don't have to. Bring it back in and do what you did really well in the first season, which is like shock people and have twists and turns and like weird little things happen, and that happened. I think they nailed it in the mid-season.
They totally did.
Yeah, and it's not coming back till March, so people will miss it. Maybe that'll give them enough time to like miss it and want to give it a go again. We'll see.
That's the one thing I hate about this like season is that we're not getting repeats, and a lot of shows are not coming back until March. So it'll be interesting to see how many people are going to continue to tune in for them. But I think Empire. People will definitely tune in.
Yeah, because there's nothing else on TV like it. And I think that's what one of the things that I was like, you know, sort of surprised that people were going at it so hard in terms of the criticism. And I think it's above criticism. Like I said, you and I obviously have things we picked up that we didn't really care for either. But at the same time, I don't think it takes away from it being an entertaining show. I think people get, like you said, people will never be happy. And I just felt like there was so much of that for both seasons, and not seeing it for what it is, which is a silly, soapy, fun soap opera. It's just a nighttime soap. You know what I mean? And if you think it's supposed to be Shakespeare, you're watching the wrong show. I mean, it's inspired maybe a little bit by King Lear, but that's it. That even that inspiration is pretty much gone. So I don't know.
It's like our Dynasty Dallas Knots Landing
totally
for the new
is.
Millennium.
That's what I like about it. It's completely, you know, soapy and fun. And it's, you know, all the people are glamorous and beautiful. Well, most of the people are glamorous and beautiful. And the music is fun. You know, I mean, I think if at any point you start to take it seriously, then you would definitely have a problem with it. I just never, shows like that, Scandal, I don't take them seriously. And therefore, I don't get upset when they don't live up to any expectation because I don't have any. Just watch it and enjoy it and then I'm done. You know, it's sort of like reality TV. You watch it and it's sort of like, oh, that was fun, bubblegum. You spit it out and move on. You know what I mean? I don't know what people are looking for.
And I'm sick of procedurals. Time in, time out. It's like Empire is not a procedural.
It's not. It's not, and it's not, you know, it's not a part of a franchise, even though they're having, like, there's mumblings of another show or another. Queen Latifah's talking and talks supposedly with Lee Daniels to do something. But it doesn't sound like it's going to have anything to do with Empire. It's not that kind of show. And maybe that's the thing. People are forgetting how silly and ridiculous Dynasty was and Dallas was and, you know, Falcon Crest. I mean, these were the shows you would watch on, like, a Friday night and just laugh or go, oh, that JR. He's so – and Lucius has that. He has that JR DNA. I love – that's what I like about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's despicable.
Oh, Cookie is like Joan Collins.
Totally. It's like if they took JR and put JR and Joan Collins on, you know, Alexis Carrington on a show together, it would be Empire. And that's what we're getting. I love it. I think it's fun. Anyway, I'm glad Taraji got a Golden Globe nod, too.
Yeah, there was a great picture last year. At the end of the season, Taraji ran into Joan Collins at an airport in Philadelphia. And it was like, God, just have her on the show. Forget Royals, you know. Bring her on, because she could be excellent. You know, I'm sure there is something they could do. They can make her. They can make her like a Barbara Walters, but better.
Yes.
You know, anything. Just, but you know, or you know, that could be a.
Or Diana Carroll.
That'll work.
I was watching. Somebody sent me, or it was. I think it was around the time when Empire started. And they were talking about, like, you know, shade. Who can throw better shade? And they showed a scene with Cookie and Boo Boo Kitty, you know, when she would really go in the first season, and it was awesome. But it couldn't even touch this great scene when Diane Carroll first joined Dynasty. And there's this great scene when she goes to visit Alexis Carrington, because I guess they were, like, frenemies or something. And just, it was just everything. Diane Carroll's like... is this old caviar? It tastes like it was frozen. Just the claws. the claws just kept coming out. And, you know, I think, like, Alexis' character made a comment about Diana Carroll's, like, coat or something. Like, oh, is that from, you know, two seasons ago or something? You know, like, just the fur was flying. And it was just so tame, but it was so perfect. And that's what I mean. I think Empire definitely has the potential to live up to those shows and just be just – it's just – fun and ridiculous, you know, and like just rich people acting, behaving badly. That's what we want to see.
Yeah. And no, I think they'll go back to that, because I think they're the type that actually listens to the fans.
They seem to. Yeah, I interviewed Jussie Smollett, and he was so cute, because I didn't know how he was going to react, and I asked him. I said, people are not, you know, speaking too highly of season two. What do you think of that? And he goes, you know what? I understand it. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, you know, I mean, they have the first season to compare it to. He's like, but people should not give up. And it's funny, immediately after he said that, I think I interviewed him the week before the finale, and the finale aired, and I was like, that's why he said that. You know what I mean? Like, you're giving up too soon. Like, wait, just give it a minute. We're going to come back. So I think people, too, were mad that whole love scene between him and, or kiss between him and Alicia Keys' character, or guest star character. That threw people for a loop. Because I think they want him to be like this, almost like the perfect gay character. And then by having him kiss a woman, it was like, what? There were so many people who were mad on, like, social media. And I was just like, again, it didn't bother me. I thought, you know, it was funny. I actually thought they had chemistry. And I was like, oh, but he's gay, so nothing will happen. At the end of the episode, he kissed her. And I was like, oh, I didn't see that coming. What did you think of the kiss? Did the kiss bother you?
But no, I love the kiss, because I think it's they had great chemistry when they sang. So
right.
Why not?
Exactly.
Sing?
Yeah.
I mean, when they sing, were you not blown away with that song?
I love that song. I love a lot of this. I mean, but that was, to me, one of the best songs of the season, if not the best. And I love their chemistry. And so to deny it, they clearly had some, even, I think, and it was weird. I was like, they actually seem attracted to each other.
And it was like, so what? You know, it's like we all experiment. Welcome to the new millennium.
I don't know. It was experiment. Yeah. People were just.
You know, how many shows do you have where someone is experiment with being gay? This, he experimented with being straight.
Yeah, and he's like, not for me. but hey, again, if you're going to experiment, can anybody blame him for experimenting with Alicia Keys? It's not like she's some hag. You know, like, why are people so upset? You were like, he can't kiss a woman. He's gay. I'm like, well.
Because people love to complain.
I see chemistry. I don't know. I see it. They have it. It's not like, no one could deny that they had chemistry. I think people just really wanted him to just be, like you said, they want him to be, they wanted the character, they want characters, I think, in general on TV to be very black and white. This is this person, they're bad, and this person's good, and this person's gay, and this person is straight. And, like, that's not how life is. That's what I like about it. No.
Right. And, it, like, I mean, when they sang, it was like you could feel their
you
passion.
Could feel it.
It might have been passion from the song as compared passion from their body. And, I mean, they made beautiful music together.
They did. And you see the romance didn't last. I mean, whatever. I thought it was great. I believed it. I don't know. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, let's go on to another show. We can talk about Empire all day long. But CW's Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Rachel Bloom, shout out to her for getting a Golden Globe nomination. Very well deserved. What do you think? Mm-hmm. I love that show. I made it the number 10 show on my HitFix critics poll. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. And I love that Tova Feldsha. Am I saying her name? Tova Feldsha?
I don't know. But we'll say, yes. Yeah. Her mother.
Deanna from The Walking Dead. I love that she played her mom. I love that episode. It was my favorite episode. That and the boy band episode. But I mean.
Oh, gosh, yes. But no, that song when she came on where she was just being the typical Jewish mother and yeah. being like, ugh, what's going on here? This
Where's the bathroom?
Lovely.
You call it soap,
right? What are you doing? That song was great.
It was brilliant.
Perfect. Mhm. I think they started to recreate her character because at the beginning she was so unlikable. Like it was like you felt for poor Josh Chan. It's like leave Josh Chan alone. You're
I know
crazy.
You're a stalker.
But then they started to, and she wasn't likable at all. But in the last few episodes, I think since the party episode at her house.
Yeah, I like that
she's
episode.
She's become a lot more likable.
See, isn't it funny? I liked her. I liked her from the start. She kind of reminded me of Ally McBeal when I liked Ally McBeal. I liked Ally McBeal at first, and then I fell off because I just Calista Flockhart, all of them just looked so hungry. I had to stop watching. But when the show started, the first season of Ally McBeal and the first couple seasons, I really, really liked Calista Flockhart. I really liked that sort of like, I know it's an old trope and I know it's a caricature, but the whole I'm a single woman and I got to do something. I got to figure this out. And what about the guy I dated before who I really liked type thing? And that, to me, it really had that sort of that DNA of Ally McBeal and that sort of what we liked about that show. And I also thought it was just it's a funny premise. How do you find a way to root, like you said, and like a stalker for all intents and purposes, like her or not? That's kind of what she is, and they made it work somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I think the last few episodes it's gotten stronger. Like when she went in Josh Chan's for Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
and like she was wowing the parents, but then she learned her lesson: you can't eat food you're not familiar with.
Right.
You know, so it's like. But they've had a lot of fun with, I think they've just loosened it up a little bit more.
One of the criticisms, and I have to somewhat agree with it, was that the show was initially pitched to Showtime as a half hour. And there are episodes, not the mother episode and not the Thanksgiving episodes, but there have been episodes where you thought, this is going too long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so in that regard, yeah. But again, it's a freshman show. I hope CW keeps it on at least long enough for it to get even stronger and get even more critical buzz. I think they will. I think that Rachel getting the Golden Globe nomination can't hurt. So
I think it helped a lot. I mean, I think it explains why they haven't canceled it, because the ratings are horrible for the show.
Oh, is it? Does it come on before or after Jane the Virgin?
Before.
Okay. Okay.
But, yeah, no, unfortunately, it's averaging less than a million.
Ooh, yeah,
Yeah, and it gets about a 0.3, 0.4 in the 18 to 49. So the ratings have not been great, but it's been getting buzz, and I think it also helped that it got the Golden Globe. I think because Jane the Virgin isn't doing much better, and Jane wasn't doing that well last year, but getting the Golden Globe.
Yeah, but when Gina Rodriguez won, I think a lot of people were like, okay. And I remember right after the Golden Globes, after Gina, and I was so happy that she won. After Gina won. Mm-hmm. The ratings went up. It didn't. It wasn't like a huge spike, but it did. I remember it going up after her win. So, you know, if Rachel wins or if she doesn't, hopefully people.
I mean, here's the interesting thing: CW got more nominations than NBC, and it airs on NBC, the Golden Globes.
That's funny. I didn't even... Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, NBC doesn't have a lot. That's on NBC. I'm not. I was disappointed that The Wiz Live didn't get any nominations, but that's just me.
Wait, which one?
The Wiz Live. I thought it was fun.
Too late.
Oh, really? What's the cutoff? Really? Because there was no.
I would think so. I mean, it aired last week, and they had the nominations. They had to be in a few weeks ago, so I would assume that. But you're right; it might not be because the movies haven't come out yet.
I was gonna say there are some movies that haven't come out yet, and they saw them in advance. Oh well, it was live. I don't know. Well, okay. Well, maybe.
Mm. Yeah, but Wiz Live was good. It definitely
right. It was so much fun. It was a really I'm glad NBC did that. I thought it was brave and fun, and it was hilarious because. Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just glad they finally did more of a modern musical as compared to Peter Pan and Sound of Music, which haven't been in theaters in like decades.
I agree. Though The Wiz hasn't either. It still was fun to see, and it did feel more modern. They could do more modern things with it. That was the thing. And right, and it was funny because for Essence.com, I wrote a like point counterpoint, and the other critic hated it, and I was just like, really? Like, do you hate Christmas and kittens too? Yeah, I mean, it was I don't know. He said musically, he liked the original, and he had all these other points, and I felt like it was fun, and it was a great, program or special to watch with kids, and I love the music, and they had a few updated new songs they added to the catalog. I loved it. I thought it was fun.
It was, and the people sets were gorgeous.
I know the sets were gorgeous. The costumes were fun and gorgeous. The coloring, the twist they did, like they had the lion have like dreadlock mane. Mm-hmm. I thought that was, I mean, like those little things. I thought all of it together, like little pieces, little touches like that, really made a difference. But whatever.
Some people will like the original. Some people don't like Broadway.
True.
I love Broadway, and it was one thing that someone said to me, and I'm kind of hoping that NBC will switch the producers next year, that it does come off a little cold, all of these live musicals, because there's no audience.
That's what that was the criticism of the music critic who did the counterpoint to me. I love it, and he hated it. So he said it felt like because it was in a bubble or sort of in a, there's no audience. It's a live episode or live production for the audience, for TV audiences. But you don't get that live feeling that you get when you're in theater. So because of that, it felt, I think he said stale or something like that. So I could see that, but it didn't, it wasn't like, to me, it wasn't jarring. It felt like, oddly enough, it felt like because it was live and because it was a play or musical or whatever, I just felt like it was almost like some telenovelas or soap operas are kind of shot that way. It felt like that for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I grew up with Broadway, so it's like, to me, when someone said to me, because I had spoken to a producer, someone who worked on the Hot in Cleveland shows, and when he said that that was what was missing was the audience, I went, you're right. But not only that, the acoustics. Because it's shot in a studio, it's very brassy, and it doesn't have that sound that you get when you're in a theater.
Yeah,
but
a couple people,
do it in a theater, so I don't know how they can fix the sound to make it sound more theatrical. But those are just little things. Compared to the other two broadcasts, this one was amazing. And I think that it guaranteed them another season, and I hope that they continue to do something young, fun, and it's a new genre for audiences to tune in for and for families to tune in for every year.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what they pick next. That'll be fun. Sleepy Hollow, did you also got backlash for this third and current season? Did you hate the season? Did you love it? What did you think of the Betsy Ross edition in the fall finale?
I didn't like who went away in the fall finale. I don't care about Betsy
I didn't either.
Ross.
I was like, really, though? Abby? Really? Really? Again, with the sacrificial Abby? I can't. I don't understand where... But I'm going to watch it. I want to see what happens to Abby. I love her. I don't get where they're going. Where are they going with that?
Well, what's interesting is TV Line did a blind item. And they said that there was going to be a couple or two leads that were going to, a man and a female, that one of them was going to disappear in the mid-season finale. And it looks like this is going to be a more permanent thing.
What?
So when you read it, everyone went, Castle. Because that show needed But when it wound up being Sleepy Hollow, I'm like, no. If there's no Abby, there's no reason to
watch.
There's
no show.
Because the show is built on Abby and Ichabod Crane's chemistry. Without their chemistry, the show is going to be even worse than it has been.
They can't do a show without her. Like, what are they going to have her in? Is this alternative universe or some spiritual world or something fighting the demons or what? I don't get it. I don't see why they would do that. And they do have good chemistry. That's why people like it. I don't know.
And they haven't been using their chemistry enough.
They haven't, except in, like, these weird ways where, like, they have a moment, but then the moment is, like, eclipsed or sort of put aside because he's trying to date somebody and then she had the thing with her boss or whatever. And you're like, what?
To me, I thought something that totally summed it up is when they did the Bones crossover episode,
mm-hmm.
Bones did a better job writing for Sleepy Hollow than Sleepy Hollow has been writing for themselves.
That's true. I like that episode.
Mm-hmm. Like that whole thing where she was asking about having sex with Abby, you know, Bones was doing that. I mean,
yeah.
It's like they don't have that fun anymore. Like, they did have a little bit of fun in the season premiere when they went to Colonial Times. And
right.
Telling them everything.
I love that episode. That was hilarious.
But they don't do enough of that anymore. And that's what made the first season so great.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, well, they got to fix this Abby stuff. I don't know what that's about. And this whole Betsy Ross thing, she was just kind of like an afterthought. They threw her in, and he had clearly had some kind of thing with her. And I'm like, where are they going?
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
No Abby, no watch.
I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. So the HitFix recently did Fourth Critic. They do this annual Critics Poll, and they did their fourth one this year. And my number one show was Game of Thrones, which was ranked number 6 overall. And my number one new show for 2015 was Better Call Saul, which was ranked number 5 overall. What would you, if first of all, they should have asked you what you think. So that's boo-boo for them. But what would you
if
they
would want to?
No, they should have. That was their mistake. Mm-hmm. What would you say if they had asked you? But I'm asking you, what would your number one show be of 2015, and what would your number one new show be for 2015? If they're not one and the same, of course.
Oh, they're not.
Okay.
My number one show, and it's like I looked at my list. Is Sex Sent Me to the ER?
What? Really?
I love that show.
Really? Why? Okay,
yes.
So why that show?
Because it is so stupid and so much fun and educational that you can't help but to love it.
That's hilarious.
And it's so cheesy. And they always have one case that they don't have the real people involved in. You know, just different stupid stuff.
They have the reenactors. Oh, my God. I know. I love the reenactors. They're always pretty good.
But the reenactments, you know, for me, it's like it's something different. It's something fun. And it's outrageous. And
you can unplug your brain and enjoy it. Yeah, yeah. What about best new show?
I wrote down the other shows that I like.
Of 2015.
Which are, and then they're not in any particular order, with Scorpion,
okay.
Fresh Off the Boat,
okay.
Chicago Fire, iZombie, which I really enjoy.
Really?
The Middle, Baby Daddy, Young and Hungry, Undateable, which has definitely gone off the hook being live, MasterChef Junior, Blue Bloods, The Royals, and Z Nation.
Nice.
So aren't you? Now you know why HitFlix didn't ask me. I don't watch what everyone else watches.
No, but that's the fun of it. I mean, if you look at their poll, and I encourage you to, that's the fun of it, because no one has, I think it proves that critics, there's no, like, you know, hive thinking. People assume that there are, and there was to an extent, because a lot of us, like, including me, liked Fargo. And but Fargo was my number 3 show, but in terms of the votes, it was the number 1 show among critics, vote-wise, tally-wise. But other than that, I mean, it was all over the board, like in terms of what people were watching and what people, I mean, there was even, what did I see on there that was, I was like, wow, nicely done. Somebody put Gravity Falls. from Disney XD. So, and that is a good show. I watched it with my daughter. So I know it's a good show. And I thought, good for that person. I wouldn't have put it in my top 10, but I'm glad somebody did. You know what I mean? So that kind of stuff just goes to show that once you get a different, that's why I think they should include you. And I'll rally for that. If anybody cares.
Thank you.
Yeah, because it's great to have differing opinions. It's good to have people who don't watch all the same things. There's so many shows more than ever. There are more shows on television people can even watch. So, of course, we're not all watching the same things. And, of course, we don't all like the same things. So that's cool. I love your list. What about best new show of 2015? Anything?
Carmichael's Show.
Yes! Why didn't I put that on my list?
Because
funny.
We forget about it because it was a summer release, but I thought
it was
that
so
show was
good.
Brilliant.
Didn't it? It felt like, it almost felt like a nod to, like, All in the Family and Good Times. It just had that old school 70s type live studio audience comedy hilarity. You know what I mean? Just, yeah.
And they were, but you had to laugh. Like, they would do serious political messages. They showed you both sides of the political message, which All in the Family did. But they also made you laugh out. I mean, Loretta Devine.
She's
was
so awesome.
And I'm not a David Alan Greer fear that.
I am. I love him. He's from Detroit, so I love him, but he's hilarious. And they, the two of them together? Oh, forget about
it. Oh, my God.
Forget about
when
it.
When they would fight, forget it. It was great. It was just, it was well done, and you're always laughing.
Yeah, I laughed the whole time. I'm so glad they're bringing it back for a second season. That's really smart of NBC. I have to give them credit for that. So hopefully they'll get, maybe they'll get a Golden Globe nomination for that next year. They should have gotten one this
I
year because Loretta Devine is really, really funny on there. She's really, really, she and Dave, I'm telling you, her and David Alan Greer's character, their chemistry is undeniable. They're hilarious. The two of them, I love them.
Yeah, I mean, she's amazing to begin with. I always love her, but I think this is the best role that she's ever done.
I agree, especially for television. What about mid-season? Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you are looking forward to or dreading?
Well, I just watched the first four episodes of Containment, which is a CW show that does not have an air date. And they are so lucky it does not have an air date. Because the guy who spreads the virus, or patient zero, has just flown in from Syria. So could you imagine what would have happened if this had an air date right now or January when, you know, all the presidential candidates in the news has this so crazy with terrorism. I mean, terrorism is not the plot behind the show.
Right.
It's about the whole virus, and now everyone's trapped in this one section of Atlanta.
Wow.
And it's what scares me is I actually spent 4 years working in that section. I go, crap, would I be stuck there? But no, it's really well done.
Oh, okay.
And it's definitely going to have people on the edge of their seats. This is not a normal CW show. Hmm. It is really intense and really well done.
Good for them. What about dreading? Any shows that look, you just were like,
bleh. Oh, there's a whole bunch of Girlfriend Weekend. Angel from Hell lives up to its name.
Jane Lynch, Jane Lynch works on Hollywood Game Night. Maybe she should call it a night. This whole shtick about her, it's wearing thin. That's all I'm going to say. I just think that she needs to try something else, or they need to give her better choices, and she needs to make better choices in terms of the role she takes, because it just feels, like you said, it feels like Glee all over again, except she's an angel or a horrible angel.
Yeah,
or something.
She's good in small increments.
Yeah.
But as a whole, no.
It's too much.
It's way too much. And then American Crime. Who
the
cares
new season.
About some little prep school kid getting raped by a whole bunch of other boys?
Well, that...
Who's going to tune in for 13 episodes of that, or 10 episodes?
Well, I mean, to John Ridley's credit, and I think he's trying, and I haven't seen it, so, you know, you have to forgive me, because I might change my mind after I watch it. But to his credit, I think he's trying to create these talking point type shows, and he definitely did with the first season of American Crime, because it dealt specifically with race and class. When you start talking about rape and class and fraternities or prep schools or whatever, it's the same thing. But, you know, I mean, it's just like, ugh, I don't know. I am curious
narrow.
To see where they're going to go with it. Yeah, yeah.
It feels too much like
an episode of SVU or something like that. Law and Order SVU.
It felt like an SVU episode.
Yeah.
You're right. I didn't even think about that. But it's like they're trying to do too much. It just, I don't know. You're not going to care about the characters. I didn't come away care, and I thought that, for me, that was the same problem with American Crime. I hated every one of the characters, and I was like, can't you just, like, kill them all? That?
Yeah, but that was the thing. I walked away from that feeling like, I guess we weren't ever supposed to like them, because every now and again, when they would do something that would seem like it would redeem them or redeemable, they would just mess it all up. So I felt like that's what made it real and sort of gave it some grit. But I don't know if that's going to work two seasons in a row. Like you said, the whole anthology type practice of using the same actors, but just for a different story. I don't know if that's going to work. But I will have to check it out. I'm curious. I'm curious to see what
it doesn't.
Can do it. Yeah.
It's very, I think, like, because it worked with American Horror Story because it's so completely different.
Yeah.
They're in different times, different places, different scenarios. this one, they're still in modern day. So it's kind of hard to not think of them as the other characters. I mean, I think people are going to have a problem separating this show from the last one in a way. But I don't know. Yeah. I wasn't a fan of the original, and look at how many Golden Globes, Emmys, all of that.
Regina
stuff
King
that
was
got.
Amazing in it, so I think she definitely deserves the attention she's getting for. She wasn't the only one, but she was definitely one of the standout. Her performance was.
Oh, she was the standout. She was great in that
show. She was
amazing.
It was funny because they gave us. I remember they. I think I saw the first two or three. And then Regina King wasn't into. It wasn't on the show until like the third or the fourth one or something like that. And I thought, okay, now it's gonna get good, and it did. Well, if you like that kind of show, like you said, it was kind of too much for you, but yeah.
No, she definitely proved herself.
Yeah.
I mean, in that first episode, like she definitely proved she's a good actress. You know, she's not that child star anymore.
No, she's. This is not. What was her name on 227? Brenda. This is not Brenda from 227. So
definitely not.
Well, Stacey, this has been a blast. I could talk to you for probably another hour, but I think we probably should call it a day at this point. So I have to thank you for being on the show. I really, really enjoyed it. I can't wait to see you in January. Give you a big hug. And thank you so much.
I can't wait to see you then. And then we'll talk more about the horrible shows. And the shows we like.
Oh, I'm sure. I'll have even more shows. So, yeah, well, yeah. Ugh, mid-season. Woo, what are you going to do? That was our guest, TV critic Stacey Roberts. She is the founder and editor of the website Seriously OMG WTF, which can be found at seriouslyomg.com. Thank you again, Stacey, so much for doing the show.
Thank you, and happy holidays.
Happy
everyone.
Holidays! Our sponsor, Record Surplus LA, the last record store. Visit recordsurplusla.com, NPR West. I had a double team today. I had Marcia and Patrick. It's been so long since I worked with you, Patrick. I love that Charlie Brown shirt. Looking good, Patrick. Production assistant and graphic artist, Adam Janice. And you, thanks for listening.